Wow, it's been a minute since we heard that.
We're back, bitches!
We're back, bitches. It's been a minute.
It's been a like, longer than a minute.
We legit said that we were going to be back next week. We're not back next week.
It was multiple next weeks.
Well, I feel like we went on like summer vacation. And yeah.
Found ourselves a little more.
Yep. Found ourselves more. We grew and like kicked ass at work, took names. Just overall improvement.
Just life for me. Just life.
I mean, man, you and I from like, I think like from May on.
It was.
We had to like, was fending for ourselves and all that stuff. You know what we needed? We needed a damn tank.
We did need a tank, but we have to introduce our podcast because it's been a minute. So hi, everybody. Welcome back to Women on War.
We're very excited to have you back. We're very excited to resume talking history from women's perspectives.
Yes.
And we're your hosts. I'm Jillian.
And hi, everybody. I'm Allie.
And
we're gonna leave it with that.
We're going to leave it with that. And we're, just in case you've never been to our podcast before, we are two women that met working at a historical institution. And we were like, we should just talk about, like, history from women's perspectives, mostly war.
And
drink. And it evolved from there. And speaking of drinking, what are you drinking?
I have a hot toddy, although right now I wish I had a Blackberry Bourbon Crush.
That sounds amazing. And I am having the good old Witch's Brew. I know I feel like I'm a couple months late on this. But alas, here we are in Michigan. It's rainy tonight.
Oh.
It's cold. The institution that we used to work at is doing their third or fourth night of holiday nights tonight, and it's rainy, and I have to say those were some of the very hardest nights to get through.
It started. Oh wait, yeah. It is December. Oh god,
strangely enough
it's December and my birthday's next week.
Let's go. On that note, I'm gonna cheers to you. There you go. Cheers.
May this next year be way better than this year for me. Way better.
Facts of life.
I mean,
for everybody.
We're talking about tanks, though, and
all I can say is tanks for the memories, 2021.
The only good memories I have are when you came down to see me. So,
oh, man. Those are good times. You know, the one thing about being a single gal is, and visiting places with lots of potential single men is it's like the Bachelorette, but instead of passing out roses, it's challenge coins.
Yes, that has been my life.
Yeah,
apparently. Allegedly.
Hey, it's okay. It's all good. But
to win
through all that, we need to protect ourselves. We need to have armored vehicles,
yes,
also known as tanks. If you guys, you know, back in the day, in April, our last episode, we were talking about many different theories of war. Clausewitz, Jomini, probably butchered those names as I did episode.
You did great.
I did good.
You did great.
Solid. But, you know, we're talking tanks. We planned out to come back in October. That didn't happen because life got in the way. And it's okay. It's fine. But now that we're settling, like, we can resume, and we're going to do our World War One series. So we're going to do tanks and trench warfare and talking about food. That's going to be a hard episode. But let's talk about tanks. Alyssa, what is your opinion on tanks?
I'm sorry. That's just, for some reason, that threw me, like, over a little bit, because you're like, what is your opinion? And I'm just like, Do I have an opinion on tanks? Like, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, do you? Like, is it one of those things in war where we just stop throwing rocks at each other? And
I mean, basically, completely. Tank warfare changed, I think, a lot of the way warfare was being fought, essentially. I mean, like, you have the Germans in World War One who are like, ooh, look at my tank, and just going over, you know, trenches, and you're like, oh, crap, well, guess we have to figure out something around that, and then just, I don't know.
Well, you know what cracks me up is, have you seen the pictures of tanks in World War One? Like, if they got over a trench, it wasn't gracefully.
No.
It was not. It was not. No, like, as we were talking, like, kind of pre-episode, doing research for this episode was very difficult because it was dry history. Dry history. And, like, history, transportation history is, like, it's cool. But then you get to tanks, and they mostly talk about battering rams and war elephants, and you can only
choose one.
Read so much on war elephants. And, like, at first you're like, this is cool. And then you're like, sixth or seventh war elephant in, and you're like, okay, we got to stop talking about war elephants. But, like, my thing is the tank was actually started in 1898.
Yeah.
Like, and it was, for those of you who don't know, it had a very sexy name. I actually had to write this down because I actually like spit coffee out my nose.
Oh God.
When I saw this. It was F.R. Sims invented it. It was a motor scout. Basically, it was a quadricycle with a half horsepower engine. And it used a Maxim gun and an iron plate on the front, like a windshield wiper. And then very see-through. Very, very easily to,
yeah,
you know, great. But it wasn't good on the road. Like, it was good on roads, but then you off-roaded, it didn't have an off-roading function. So we failed there. Then he was like, okay, hold on. I got another one. It was an actual armored vehicle. It had, like, it looked like an upside-down laundry basket with bike wheels on it. It was great. And he named it the Motor War Car. This is why we can't have men name things. Although I feel like that's very, like, basic to do, because then if a woman got in there, we'd have to be like, we'd have to name it, like, some fancy but cool, but we'd take a lot of time naming it, I feel like.
Probably.
But I didn't know what I would name it. We wanted it to be cool. But funny enough, the motor war car never made it to actual battle. Because, again, never had an off-roading function. But it did have 6mm of armor and a 16-horsepower engine, which could go a whopping, get ready for it, you're going to break the sound barrier here, 9 miles per hour.
Woohoo!
And it had not one, but two guns that swiveled.
Ooh, I mean, the swivel function is pretty, you need it.
Yes. And then you get to, like, World War One. And Britain, right, F.R. Sims was British, and he's like, cool, we're going to keep expanding on this. And so somebody decided to, I had to, like, keep writing this down because I'm like, you can't make this stuff up. But he took that and, like, basically upgraded it. So we're on now Motor War Car 2.0. But he, again, with the names, he named it Little Willy.
Why?
I don't know. But it was all fine and dandy. But no, it was later known as the Mark One. And it was actually used in battle, and it had tank treads. So we're getting there. But it used tank treads instead of actual wheels because the roads were shit. So that's your off-roading feature. It was 28 tons, and it could go a whopping 4 miles an hour. So, turtles are passing you. But it had a 105-horsepower engine, and it had a coastal defense gun that fired 25 rounds a minute, and it had 3 machine guns. So, while we are very stationary, you're still hella protected.
Which, I mean, that's the tank's purpose, really.
So there's that, but it continued on and got better over time. Mainly, we know because of, like, World War II and all the good stuff, even to today's standards. But not just Britain had a tank. France had one. It was called the Schneider CA-1. but it did not have a turret, but it had a small cannon and two machine guns. Russia tried so hard. They tried. They had no tanks, but they researched. Effort was there. But they had something that they designed called the Tsar tank. It was I'm just going to describe it first, and then we'll go from there. So it was 27 feet tall, and it was armed with three cannons. It had 250 horsepower per wheels, because remember, even in Russia, you don't have an off-roading function. It got stuck a lot, and it was called the Tsar tank. It was a giant tricycle.
Wait, hold on. It got stuck a lot?
It got stuck a lot, because they didn't have the tank treads. They just had wheels. It legit is a giant tricycle.
I was also going to make a Tsar joke, but I'm not going to, because that will showcase my very dark sense of humor, and we're not going
to. Aw, you should do it. You should do it.
No, nope, we're not doing it today. Maybe a little bit later.
All right, maybe more hot toddy in you, but we can't rule out Germany, because they had one too. It was the AV-7. It was shielded by steel. That was pretty thick, but it couldn't hold anything to a tank cannon. So they forgot about that, and it could go over 9 miles per hour. So
there's one for Germany. One.
There you go. There you go. I feel like, too bad our field correspondent is, like, out right now. She can't get good signal to her in the trenches, and, like, our historical referees are just they're too busy with their tea party. It got a little cold. The tea was weak, and it just, they called it quits and went home early. But, like, I just want to, oh, my God. What? I don't understand. Like, they're like, let's do this. But the gracefulness of tanks, like, once they put the treads on them, because, like trenches were wide. And so you think, like, okay, cool, we're going to get this, like, right over. But, no, they got stuck a lot. Like, all of them.
Well, I would imagine. I'm, like, as you're talking to, I was looking at, like, France. Of course, I'm looking at France's tanks because it's France. Because you were talking about World War I and trenches. And, it's, like, one of them, as I'm, like, looking at this, it's called the, it's, like, the Electric Obriot Fortress, which is mounted on a tractor. Literally. Mounted on a tractor. And, like, the picture of it, I look at it, I'm like, that is very France, like, French-like. We're going to take a tractor, and we are going to do whatever we can with the tractor, and that's we're not going to design anything else because we're the French. Like,
we don't have to.
All our designs go to designing goes to, you know, fashion and that glorious stuff. But no, we're not going to put forth any effort during the first World War.
That's okay.
That's fine.
That's all right. I had to pull up the Tsar tank. Check this out.
Oh my God!
Not even kidding.
That is ridiculous. Guys,
this has two wheels. It's got, like, a small little, like, turret. Like, it looks like something out of, like, a Victorian, like, child's play, whatever, like, toy chest. Like, old school tricycle. It's, yes. Yeah. It's, it's very, yeah, I don't know why it had to be that high.
I don't know.
Okay. Why has it got to be 27 feet, Russia? I understand, like, maybe they were thinking if the wheels are big, it'll crush the snow,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll get through it. But what happens when, like, it crushes the snow, and then because the steel is cold, it helps stuff turn to ice, and you get on ice, and, like, what are you gonna do then? Like, why didn't they just make it out of, like, skis? And, like, sleds.
Because nobody invades Russia in the winter.
Yes, we've tried this, and it was like, too cold, too cold, too cold. Too cold. I'm not here for it. I don't like this idea.
But then, hold on. People do still invade Russia, because obviously Hitler and World War II did not learn from Napoleon to not invade Russia. in the winter. Like, so maybe they were just banking on that. They're like, nobody's going to invade us. Everyone's just going to learn from Napoleon. So where do you have this? Maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. World War One to, like, me is just, it's super fascinating in the way that it's, like, everything was very, very, like, new age, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, looking at, like, American history, you know, you had, like, the Revolutionary War, you had Civil War, everything seemed very, like, basic. Like, we have horses and guns.
Yeah.
And swords. But, like, let's trade in swords for big iron horses.
Let's do it.
I kind of want to know what, like, Henry Ford's thought was on all of this when they, like, turned the quadricycle with, like, a gun on it.
Well, wasn't it Patton, though, wasn't it a Model T? Took the turret gun, put it on top, and did the same thing. So I could only wonder that Henry Ford was like, not my beloved quadricycle. And then he sees that happen.
I wonder if it was, like, to him, like, the sport model of the car where he was, like, you know, this souped up tricycle, black on black on black, because, you know, Henry Ford didn't allow any other color. And he's like, that's so badass. Like, what is his thought process on this? I wonder.
Do you think we could find, like, a Ford historian and see if they, like, if there's letters from Henry Ford? I mean, I do actually kind of want to know.
Like, he did save everything. I mean, now, mind you, this was in 1898. Hang on. Let's get a little bit of a timeline here. Hang on. I gotta pull this up. Because, you know, Henry wasn't acting alone in a lot of his interests. He may have been the head, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn the head any way she wants. So remember, Claire was behind him, being like, you know how, like, couples are nowadays, where the guy's like, that car is so badass. And she's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Let's see here. Okay, yeah, the quadricycle was made 2 years earlier.
So, quadricycle was, what, 1896? First.
Yeah. Tank. And then the predecessor to the motor war car. was 1898. Actually, Da Vinci is quoted with having the original idea for a tank.
Yes.
Made out of wood, but had cannons. It was stationary, but you could turn things with a hand crank. So I was like, okay.
So really, he is the sole person behind the tank. Or at least designs.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, but then Mark One was, the British Mark One was roughly, like, right at the beginning of World War One, right? Is when that was developed. Okay. So 1914, 1915.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's right, because the first offensive use of it was in the Battle of the Somme in September of 1916. So that would make sense.
Yeah. Yep. July of 1914 and ended on November 11th, 1918. So.
Wow. And then. Yeah. It's pretty crazy thinking about it, too, because, like, with me, when I went to Normandy, like, obviously, like, I was on the beaches and, like, trying to imagine the British Mark I tanks, like, going off a boat onto the cliffs of Normandy. Like, how? Like,
yeah,
World War II, it makes sense, yeah, because obviously they had 30 years or, like, less than 30 years to develop, like, further, mm-hmm, and the war effort, you know, on the American side with the arsenal of democracy. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, and I'm also looking at a picture of a Mark I, and I'm like, how?
Yeah, they weren't graceful vehicles. I can tell you that. Like, I don't know.
Like, it does say, though, too, like, when I was reading more specifically about the Battle of Somme, and then the next, like, Battle of Ypres, or Third Battle of Ypres, is when they really realized, like, the ineffectiveness of the Mark I tank, because it kept getting stuck in muddy conditions.
And let's face it, World War One was basically fought just solidly in mud.
Like, it really was, when you think about it.
It's just, you know. And I can't wait to talk about, like, our next episode, like, trench warfare. Because, like, guys, drainage. But, like, we'll get to that.
We're not going to jump ahead at this point.
We're not going to jump ahead of ourselves. But I don't know. How do you think women would have done it differently?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, the Mark I tank, like, just the... Like, I get what they were going for. Like, cool, you had, you know, tank treads, which, okay, cool. Plus one there. Got extra credit for that one. Because we're like, okay, obviously the motor war car is not doing well with just wheels and Russia dried. But we're just going to straight up, like, just smack some old tire treads on it. All right, cool. But then if you look at the back of a Mark I, you have wheels again.
So wait, hold on. Back to your Russia tried. So does Russia get a participation trophy? Ever gonna do like trophies for tanks? Does Russia just get one because it's a participation?
I feel like they should just get honorable mention.
no trophy.
No trophy. Just like an honorable mention.
No trophies.
Like, we really tried. They had in the center of it, it is like this little like cannon top thing, but it's like flat and it's like round and it's got like little cannons coming out of everywhere. So obviously it's going to turn like a turret. Mm-hmm. The only problem is like, who are you going to shoot at? Russia, if you can't point downwards from your 27-foot-tall tricycle that you obviously made for, was it that green giant on, like, vegetable bags? Like, who are you making this for?
It just, this entire part of this conversation just reminded me, and I wanted to tell you, no challenge coins for you.
No challenge coins for you, Dennis. No.
Russia gets honorable mention.
Russia is the Dennis of
tanks.
World War One bachelorette. There you go.
Oh, God.
There you go.
I hope these people never listen to this podcast.
I don't know. And if they do, I'm sitting over here saying, YOLO, Dennis, you got to pick up your game, man. Seriously. You cannot be a Russia Tsar tank. You have to be the Mark I. At least have tire treads. At least put some effort into it, okay? At least the motor war car had armor all around the side of it.
It did its thing.
I mean, I don't even know. If you look at the German tank, though, and of course, like, I'll put together pictures so that we can post it on our Instagram, because this one is hilarious looking as well. It looks like a box. You know, like, somebody that, like, is following someone and they, like, wear, like, a bush or something like that? It basically looks like that, but if they had a cardboard box on them. It's so funny looking. Oh my God.
Right?
Somebody did a picture. They have a picture of it going over a hill. Wait. Oh my God. Where is it? Come back.
Come back, please.
Like, it kind of looks like a very upset, like, robot. Like, look at that.
It sums up Germany pretty well.
Look at that. If the front of this tank made a sound, it's very disgruntled. It's very disgruntled.
The tank you're referring to is the A7V, right?
The A7V.
Okay.
Yep.
You know,
okay, I still cannot.
You know,
if you ever need a cheer up, just look at this photo with the little eyes.
When I was reading the A7V, when I was reading about that tank, a historian literally said it was a clumsy monster.
Like, this one just looks so over it shit.
I mean,
this one has like the little like.
I would have been over it shit too because it was German.
So over the shit. Oh, this one's stuck and it has a skull and crossbones in the front of it and it just looks very sad. It's got one eye. It's just.
No, it looks so depressed.
It's very sad looking. Like, I can't. Oh. Oh, here's the epic photo of it coming over the hill. Like, if that came over the hill at me, low-key, I'd be a little terrified. I'd be like, what the hell is that thing? You'd be so stunned. You wouldn't know how to run or where to go, or you're slipping in mud half the time, so you ain't going to go far. Russia's just laughing at you on their giant tricycle because they're high up. They didn't get trench foot, no wonder. They were just losing oxygen at that height. It's fine.
Yeah, they're figuring it out.
It's fine.
Oh my god.
No, thank you. I don't even know. Like, honestly, who are they shooting at? No one's up there besides like a biplane. And even then they're not flying like 27 feet off the ground.
No. They definitely are not.
I'm like stuck on this. I'm like, what?
You're stuck on it.
Stuck on it. And then, you know, they're gonna bring a bear into it later. They're a little bear, because, you know, is what it is. Is what it is. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't get it.
I mean, the best one, though, would be the American tank, though. Not because, like, we're obviously Americans, but.
Not biased at all.
Well, Pershing, General Pershing, with. Taking over the American Expeditionary Force, which is the AEF at the time, you know, completely went in and just did everything that he could. Hence, the first tanks being Pershing's. Like, you know, it's yes. properly named. But yeah. then, what? If, how did that? Oh, and then that's when Patton came into play because Pershing took. When he was then Lieutenant Colonel George S. Patton, and then there we go.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I want to know all about tanks. So really, Patton is the reason why. We're gonna give Patton all the credit for tanks.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Patton, screw you, Da Vinci. Forget you. Stick to painting. People called the Mona Lisa. Okay, like. Let's look at the design of it, though. Like, mm-hmm. There are several tanks, but we're just going to focus on a couple that pull up on Google, because mm-hmm. we've had wine. So, let's just look at this, where it's, like, it's the U.S. M1917 light tank. It's solid in design. They mm-hmm. should have taken after Russia. Russia should have done this. They put a sled on the back, so if they tip, whoop, guess what? They got a little kickstand. Time to get up. Out of the trench. It's going to be a good time, guys. See? Yes. And then America took it, and they ran with it. It was solid. It went probably faster than 9 miles an hour.
Probably.
Let's see how fast it actually went. I'm curious now. I mean, I don't want to...
The M1-917, right? That was, like, designed after the French Renault FT tank. Just to let you know, so really France is the one who designed it first. Alright, battle point to France.
battle point to France. Creator point to, okay, first place ribbon for design and creation goes to Patton. What's the point we're giving
France gets the point because they designed the light one, basically the light tank, the U.S. light tank. It was modeled after the U.S. M1-917 light tank was designed after the French Renault tank. Look it up.
Yes,
so really, battle point goes to France.
This is true. Okay, blue ribbon goes to France.
And then?
Gold medal, blue ribbon. Wait, what would be an appropriate award for World War One? Would it be gold? Would it be ribbons?
I don't know. Can we do both?
Battle star to France. There you go.
That just made me think of The Office. Ferris Bueller's Battlestar. Oh, God.
There you go.
This is my, that's where I'm there at you go. Today. But then, that's I fine. Mean, okay, so we have that tank. And then I know we briefly mentioned Patton, but Patton, he went against essentially all of the advice of his friends to, chose to go into the newly formed U.S. Tank Corps. He was the first officer. So really, again, Battlestar point.
See, there you go. And I did look this up. You are correct. This is spot on. Look at that.
Yep. So it was modeled after it, but the let's see, but
solid in design.
So, because you just looked at the Renault tank, so the M1917 light tank was designed by the Ford Motor Company.
See,
something always gets tied back to Henry when it comes to warfare. Always. And this is why we shug.
Not gonna comment.
This is why we.
The amount of conversations I've had with people and his at work and his history with warfare, you're just okay, let's set records straight here. We're not getting into it though. This is not the time nor the place, but you are correct.
Oh, Henry Ford.
This poor guy, born during a civil war, passed away after a second world war.
Again. Oh, Henry Ford.
Father of the motor war car.
Essentially.
Pseudo creator. I mean, he did a good dang majority of the work there. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting in wooden shaped. Da Vinci's thing was base with cannons poking outside of it, and then it got a little wood hat.
Yeah, ooh. I saw that when I was researching and looking at it. It's for the time period appropriate. I mean, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But still, I guess in that way, it was modernized in a way, right? It was modern thinking for warfare, but. With that, I guess jumping back into World War One, because I think we're really just going to focus with this episode on World War One tanks. We won't go into World War Two, but even though that's obviously when they became more developed, mm-hmm. they were still wearing their training bras. These tanks in World War One,
they had their Russia stole their damn tricycle wheels, so
they're still.
I don't even know what to say with that. But, we had little kickstands.
I mean, we were smart. We were smart. I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, the AAF, though, I know in World War One, they set out to have 15,000, light tanks. And only 15 were created. And none of them saw the war.
See, that's so fascinating to me. Why would you build it? There's that saying, build it and they will come. No, build it and it ain't coming. So, I don't, why? Why? To me, that's such a waste of, I feel it's a waste of resources. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, for the research part of it and the, the progression of warfare and the materials used in warfare. And necessary, but at the same time, why?
I mean, Yeah, it's interesting to look at it from kind of that perspective, but I also think a lot of it had to deal with you are now getting this new form of like modern warfare within like, I don't know, the like the Spanish-American War is really like when you start seeing the rise of like some modern warfare. It's like this really weird concept. And you also start seeing guerrilla warfare. And so trying to think of how to like properly word it, I guess, is just because you have such a rapid development of like this new warfare strategies, like moving away from Clausewitz and Jomini, you're moving into this whole new realm. And so not having those supplies, I guess, readily available, you know, it wasn't like things were being heavily mass produced at the time. Like they were, but they weren't. And so I think with the progression of World War One and how it went, it like took off in this weird, this I guess bizarre way, so to speak. So I guess it's not surprising that they didn't see, you know, warfare. I mean, I do know that those brigades, mm-hmm. like the what was it? The 304th Tank Brigade, the French actually just ended up equipping them with the Renaults. So basically it was their tank. But France, more so than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
There's some a little bit of history there for you. So really.
Hey, I'm here France, for it.
Because in World War One, yeah. France actually did something in a war.
Three battle stars to France. I like that little theme song you had there.
I wish I could sing it better.
Like this, I'm so glad we did this episode because, like, World War One really, to me, it's a game changer, right? In terms of the way warfare was fought from, you know, like a Civil War mm-hmm. perspective, like going from Civil War to like World War One, like a lot of things were adjusted, like the whole use of like mustard gas and all that stuff. Whereas like big developments in warfare with Civil War is like we're gonna stop using cavalry as berry hunters and we're gonna use them as spies and scouts mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So you're like, haha, making some real big strides here, whereas, you know, World War One, you're like, haha, mustard gas,
crap.
Shit. So you're like, now what am I gonna use, you know? And then just how people like learn about it, you know, it's, to me, it's fascinating. Like the only thing I knew about tanks were 3 points of contact at all times, climbing up and down them, getting on them. Because I've, you know, going to World War II events, I've spent my fair share of time on tanks.
Thanks. So much fun.
I mean, when the baseball uniform is very, like, they're like, you want to go on it? We're like, yes.
Yes, please. Yes. I love you. Sorry. When you said yes. Scouts, obviously, you know, next to me because he loves his mom so much and his like little head perked up, but that's, in case anybody wants to know, that's why Scout is named Scout after a cow scout, because he's a hound and hounds do reconnaissance when you're hunting. So that's why Scout is appropriately named Scout after cow scouts, because we do
reconnaissance. And is Bo next to
he
you?
He's on the couch. Oh, as a funny thing, he has not been Two-Town Beauregard today. He has been Rochambeau.
Wow, and Scouts, I feel like you got to give the background of Beau's name.
Beau doesn't really have, like, a definite background. He just looked like a Beau. But for anybody, I guess we can segue to, like, in a little bit to, like, our mini episode, our mini episodes we're going to do. So yes. One of the things that I've been asking Bo every day, I think it stemmed from when you were here, and I yes. ask him, are you going to be Rochambeau and try to be keeper of the peace and be calm and not be so hostile, or are you going to be Two-Town Beauregard and cause chaos and mayhem all around? Usually it's the latter, but today he's being Rochambeau. So there we go.
There you yeah. go.
Bo doesn't have a cute.
There we go.
Doesn't have a cute story like Scout.
That's okay. Just still, I feel like when Bo is being bad and causing terror. Well, I shouldn't say bad, but like causing chaos if he chooses it. You should just put that squid hat on him. So I went down to visit Allie recently, and of course it was like Halloween time, and so I bought her dogs Halloween costumes. So fitting enough, Scout is a tripod, very similar to the 27-foot-tall Russian Tsar tank. Oh my god, it's his next Halloween costume. I'm making this. So Scout is a tripod, or tripaw, I should say, which is funny because my microphone is also a tripaw. So it works out. But we made Scout a pirate, and obviously keeping on theme, you can't make Bo a mermaid or anything like that. No. There was a squid hat. I'm still waiting on a picture of him wearing a squid hat on the beach.
Every single time I've taken him out and like off leashed him, he just goes right into the water with it. So it's like
that's fine. I'm pretty sure that thing is
and then washable. Chases after guys, always follows guys that are running on the beach.
The best part is he's doing it like while wearing a squid hat. So
yeah, he brings joy. On the days he chooses chaos, and I put the squid hat on him, he brings joy to everybody. It's amazing. Unlike the German, the A7V.
The thing is just a meh-looking tank. That thing is like, I am over your shit, Germany. I guess I'll do it. It's like when you have like that one friend that like you have to drag out to the bar with you. Like they don't really want to go, but they're like, I'll go. Because you've promised them like French fries or something.
I was thinking of the look, like the face, I guess, type of look on the A7V. And you know what it reminded me of?
No, what's that?
It reminded me of Jasper's face with the hat, the birthday hat.
Oh, money.
You know what I'm talking about? Because he's like, do I really have to wear this freaking hat, Mom? And I was like, yes, you do.
Forced.
So.
The German A7V is also like the equivalent of you're forced to wear like a family Christmas sweater at like a family photo at like JCPenney or something. Oh, God.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Germany forced this poor tank to a family photo with JCPenney.
Oh my God. Sorry, my brain is going everywhere now because now I'm like thinking.
Are you still thinking of Jasper?
I'm thinking of like German. I'm like saying things to my brain in German accents. And like the first thing.
Wait, did you say you're saying everything in your brain like a German accent? This is amazing.
We're like trying to figure out like the equivalent of saying things in German. Because in case everybody forgot, I speak fluent German. So. But it made me think, which is why I was laughing even harder, is because I have to find it so I can send it to you, Jillian. But like there's a picture of like Hitler. And he has like his hand.
Oh no. The fact that you can't even like get through the beginning part to describe this, like, just
this picture or whatever.
I'm so excited.
And it's like his hands are on his hips. And somebody in the Tumblr universe. But this is from my spring collection. But I said in my brain in German, like in a German accent. Oh my god. I need to go to bed.
This is from my spring collection. See, I can't do a German accent. See, I'm... Listen, when you speak Polish, you can't do a German accent. It's, like, next to impossible.
Oh, my God. Hold on. I have to find this. I have to find this for you because it literally, like, it makes me laugh every single time I see it. But, oh, God. Oh, no. Where is it? I know I have it somewhere. If I don't have it saved on Pinterest, I'm going to be very, very sad because it's, I don't think I do. Not anymore. This is sad. This is so sad. Jillian. I wonder, this makes me, nope. I know I have it somewhere though. God. All right. I wonder if I can like Google search it really quick so I can send it to you. This is what we do, guys. We stop talking about tanks. We're talking about all this random German stuff.
That's okay. You know what? I feel like there's not much we can talk about with tanks. I mean, I'm sure there's a ton. Like, the mechanics of it, the mechanisms behind it, the spriggy doohickey things in it. You know, it's fine. But ever since that one day I was, like, running around and I was on the battleship and I got almost stuck in a gun turret, like, I would be the worst person.
You would. You'd be like, ooh, what does this button do?
In a tank. In a tank. Not only because of that, but, like, actually, I feel like I'd be okay with the weaponry just because, like, they're not, like, huge guns. Like, still, Maxim gun, machine guns, they still do a lot fast. But it's not like a 16-millimeter gun. But then again, you know my crazy ass. I'd be, like, on top of this tank because I also was a person who was at a pinup photo shoot on a battleship and asked if I could climb inside the gun turret. Because I can, fun fact, I can fit in a 16-millimeter gun turret.
In case anybody wanted to know.
It's very cold in there. It's actually not terrible, but it's very cold. The little swirl that they have inside of it with the grooves to help, you know, air and push it forward. I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of uncomfortable. But it wasn't bad. Difficult getting out, but you know, that's where the firepower comes in. I wonder if Hitler was like, well, since Russia is building them big, we gotta build them big. So here we have this massive, like, train car looking tank that kind of looks meh. It's not super funny like when it falls over because it's just like wah. But like if you watch like old clips of like tanks like either getting stuck in the trench or like rolling over, as sad as you're like, okay, there's probably, you know, there's somebody in that tank and they probably got crushed and everything like that. Like, you have to, like, separate it. Like, this is where the historians and us come out. You're like, we have to separate that. Like, they just look comical falling over. That's where the little kickstand came in.
Pretty much.
Like, what do you do if a tank got stuck and the little kickstand was just, like, dangling there? Do you, like, get the whole unit and, like, push them out? Or, like,
would you even be able to push it?
Do you get the horses in there? Like, who gets us out? Where is the tank tow truck?
The tank tow truck.
It could be, like, called, like, tanks towing or something.
TT. TT. But then when I think TT, I think of ta-ta. Ta-ta, banana. You know, whatever. Don't mind me. I'm so tired.
That could be the saying if they broke down in the field. They could be like, ta-ta for now. Oh, my God. They could be like, tanks all, folks.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez. <geez. laughs>
So, anyway, next week's episode,
next week's episode, we're going to be talking about people in the in the trenches when the tanks fell in and got stuck. What was it like? What was life like during trench warfare?
Everyone's going to probably hear my dark humor next week.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it, though.
As long as you're here for it. But yes, that'll be our next round of episodes. And then after that is food in World War One, which is going to be... I'm excited for that one.
I'm excited for it, too, because I got so much.
That's going to be your episode. And I feel like I kind of failed in this episode, to be honest, because there's so much on tanks, but, like, for World War One, like, there isn't at the same time. Like, it's bizarre.
It was very revolutionary in warfare. So there is, but there isn't. You know, it's like I was telling you, battering rams, war elephants, and very large tricycles.
Very large tricycles.
You have tall, Like if you had war Starbucks, you have Battering Ram mm-hmm. is a tall, a war elephant is a grande. We've skipped venti and just gone right to Trenta with the Czar tank.
I like how you did that. Perfect.
Yeah, they kind of took on like a role, like a thing from Texas. You know, the higher the hair, the closer yes. to God. Higher the Czar, closer he is. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Who actually? How'd you get up there? Like, I don't know. So many questions, so little time. But next week's episode, we're talking trench warfare. So get your rain boots ready and start digging some drainage because we don't need it.
Big time.
But little update for you guys. We are now doing bi-weekly episodes just because we're still getting settled into our lives, our new roles at work. We still want to come back and talk history with you guys. And of course, follow us on Instagram. We're getting back Facebook. And of course, don't forget to email us at info.womenonwar@gmail.com if you have any questions or if you want to hear anything on future episodes.
We miss love your you. Input.
And we miss you. But for now, everybody, thanks and have a good night.
Thanks.